Right now, we go down to Los Angeles and bring in Chris Haft of MLB.com. Chris, how are you?
Marty, super. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm very glad to have you on today. And I talked a little bit about Yasiel Puig and I guess MRI in his thumb. What's the word down there?
Well, everybody's just, you know, I haven't been to the Dodgers side of the you know, clubhouses. But, yeah, I mean, it's I don't think there's that much surprise because, let's face it, if it hasn't been one thing with him, it's been another. And so, you know, this just continues the all the various and sundry episodes, positive and negative, you know, regarding him. You do wonder, you know, he's a guy who plays hard. You wonder if sometimes you do have to throttle back in this game with, you know, 162 games a year. Not loaf necessarily, but, you know, pace yourself. And because he always plays, you know, hell-bent for leather, you have to wonder if he's going to, you know, have to rethink, as it was suggested to him last year, you know, again, toning down his style on the field.
Chris, what did you think of Matt Cain's first game down in Arizona? The four-run lead for him in the first inning, he really worked hard. Gutierrez eventually was the loser in that one. What did you see in Cain in the first game?
I thought he looked – I did not recognize – the guy I saw pitch maybe the first and second inning. And not that I'm a pitching coach, not that I'm a, you know, supreme expert, but I mean, I've watched a guy pitch, you know, a couple hundred games now since he came up in at the end of 2005. And I just looked like he was holding back or something. As he explained later, he said he was trying to be too fine, aiming a ball. And that may have been it. You know, he just didn't look like he was letting it loose.
Yeah.
The last three innings, he pitched. I thought that was Matt Cain. So, you know, we'll see if he can do it for six or seven or eight tonight.
Yeah, he's had a lot of success against the Dodgers, and especially down in Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, well, for a while there, he had zero success because of the lack of run support. But I think the baseball gods are have evened things out here the last three or four seasons. And, you know, that's true. He does pitch very well here.
Chris Haft with us from MLB.com. Of course, he covers the Giants, and you can read Chris all the time. Chris, this start of 5-1 on the road, they're going to come home on Tuesday. We've seen this club here at AT&T Park. We've seen it do World Series, but my goodness, they struggle to score runs at home. What do you think is going to happen next week?
What they need to do is maintain their approach. They need to now I'm not telling you what's going to happen because I'm wondering myself, but what they should, you know, what should happen is, again, them maintaining their approach, you know, maybe the home runs, you know, nine home runs in the first six games, maybe those become doubles. You know what? That's fine. As long as they're getting on base and, as Bruce Bochy says, keeping the line moving, you know, with the batting order. It's a deep enough batting order so that, you know, they can accomplish that and still maybe, you know, hit the occasional home run or two, even at home.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at some of the league stats today for the Giants, and some of it's pretty impressive. Of course, 38 runs going into today, only behind Miami, and they had 40. But 15 doubles. Miami had 18, and Arizona had 15, but, of course, they've played more games than the Giants. And then nine homers, of course, we've talked about. But 23 walks for the ball club. How about that? The Dodgers have 26, but really 23 walks. There's nobody else. Only a couple of teams are at 20. How about that? Isn't that surprising how many walks they've gotten?
It is surprising, but what's good about it, Marty, is that I think they're getting back to the approaches or the approach that they had when they, you know, won it all in 2010 and 2012. But, Bruce Bochy and Hensley Newlands talked a lot then, and the players, for that matter, talked a lot then about trusting the next guy in a batting order. You didn't have to do it all yourself. Yeah, sure, you're trying to get on base and all that, but, you know, if you didn't hit a home run or hit a bases-clearing double, hey, maybe the next guy could do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's maybe easier for them because it's so apparent to everybody, including themselves, that there's a little bit more depth in the batting order, maybe that philosophy is easier to maintain.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Chris, the on-base percentage, I know it varies so much early in the season. You could have a great game and go up about 40 points, but it is at 328, which is a good number, slugging at 457. And the only team out slugging him right now is Colorado. So these are decent numbers for the ball club.
real good numbers. They bode well for the rest of the season. As Hunter Pence said, though, you know, things change every 5 minutes. He was quoting Ray Lewis, the linebacker.
Right.
And so, you know, they'll have their share of slumps. But, you know, they're, again, if they, you know, as long as all, you know, the top six or seven guys aren't slumping all at the same time, and, you know, that almost never happens, you know, they should be, you know, they should be okay. I mean, I'm still a little, you know, wondering about the starting pitching. You know, they didn't have a good first time through the rotation. You know, Madison Bumgarner started the second time through the rotation, you know, quite well yesterday. So we'll see how that, let's see how that progresses.
Yeah, good game tonight, Kane and Greinke. I like it. Adrianza is in the lineup, hitting eighth tonight. I kind of thought maybe Arias, 2-for-5 off Greinke. Hicks is not in there tonight. Of course, he's had a good series against the Dodgers. Any explanation from Bruce Bochy on Adrianza tonight?
I have not been able to talk. We haven't had our little pregame chat with him yet, unfortunately, Marty. So I wish I could give you some early word. Bruce did hint yesterday he was going to make a change. So, and I don't think necessarily to, out of anything Hicks didn't do, I think he wanted to get maybe maximize the defense a little bit, you know, for Matt Cain, you know, behind Matt Cain with, you know, Greinke pitching for the Dodgers. This is probably the best pitching matchup of the series.
Yeah, this one is good. We're going to see this matchup maybe 5 or 6 times in some form, one form or another. You know, they're going to have 6 series against each other. And I remember Greinke was hurt in the beginning, so the Giants really only saw him once last year. I mean, you saw Greinke pitch against the Dodgers, against the Giants. What do you think?
I was very impressed, and then I got a double or triple helping of it because I was lucky enough to be assigned to the National League Championship Series, and he pitched pretty well there, you know, against the Cardinals. So, but I do remember his game against the Giants. He, four hits over 6 innings, 1 run. He shut them down pretty well. So, they're definitely facing a tough customer tonight.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this game. They're all good. I haven't seen a starting pitcher yet who's put this lineup on its ear. Greinke is certainly capable, so this may be the biggest test of the year for the ball club, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, they should, we talked, Marty, just a few minutes ago about the walks. If they can somehow work Greinke, you know, for some deep counts tonight, that would be a good idea because the Dodgers' bullpen is a little bit weary after, the first 2 starters, Ryu and Mahalam, didn't go very far in their respective games, the first two games of the series.
Good point. Yeah, you want to get into that pen early. Hey, Chris Haft, of course, with us, MLB.com. Jeremy Affeldt, he's not coming back Tuesday or Wednesday. I guess they can keep him down there up to 30 days, I guess, on a rehab assignment. When is he coming back? He didn't do very well in his first outing down there, and they're going to keep him there for a while. But in a way, they don't want him back so fast anyway, because somebody's got to go.
Yeah, they do want to make sure somebody has to go. That's one thing. And when you and I were talking off the air before, Marty, good question. Who's going to come off? You know, again, that's use that things change every 5 minutes saying it might have to, you know, they might have to rely, they might have to lean on what happened in the previous 5 minutes before they make that, that transaction, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because right now, who are the last 2 guys in the pen? I mean, maybe Juan Gutierrez, maybe, you know, we were saying David Huff, but gee whiz, both those guys have done real well and have done nothing to, you know, warrant being sent down. Maybe if somebody comes up with a kind of a tired arm or a sore arm, they can make an easy DL move. But right now, there are no obvious choices.
Yeah.
As far as Jeremy Affeldt goes himself, you know, they just want to make sure he's fully healthy. So, but they're going to take their time making this move.
Chris, any word on Scudero down there? I guess he's in Arizona. What have you heard?
Still in Arizona. The last word we heard was nothing new. So, you know, nothing's imminent, that's for sure. So the three-headed second base monster, I think we're going to see for a while.
All right. Chris, I appreciate you being on as always and looking forward to seeing you. You've been in Cincinnati. You covered the Reds. Those opening days, they are special, aren't they?
They really were, Marty. They were something else. It was, they had the parade. You know, people there, it's funny, you walk through the stands, if you were to walk through the concourses during the game, the concourses were choked with people. So I don't know if people were so much, you know, maybe you have to say they were disinterested in the game, but I think they were just more interested in being outside, being outdoors, doing something summery, you know, after a, you know, cold winter or something, you know. So, yeah, opening day kind of had some a lot of symbolic meaning there, too.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing you, and I appreciate you being on. Chris Half, thanks, Chris.
Marty, thanks. Thank you so much.
All right. That is Chris Haft of MLB.com. Always a pleasure to have him on. Yeah, he covered the Reds for years, so he knows the parade and all that goes on back there as well.